Good morning. Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And today we are going to look at the Reformation and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I will read and make some pauses to explain some pictures. So it's going to be kind of a mix of reading and going over the pictures. The Reformation and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Introduction. Different places and circumstances contributed to the beginning of the Reformation. Most studies about the Reformation focus on theological disputes and developments, and little attention has been given to archaeological study of sites that were significant to the Reformation. Hence, this paper analyzes the archaeological developments of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem and its context within the Reformation. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre was chosen not only for its rich history, many artifacts, wide popularity among visitors, and extensive literature, but also for its intersection with crucial theological issues of the Reformation, such as papal authority, indulgences, and pilgrimages. In order to understand the problems raised by the reformers in the 16th century, I will first give a brief overview of the history of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre up to the 1500s, focusing on the events that are relevant for the study. Then, the study shifts to Germany, the Elector Frederick the Wise, his visit to the Holy Land, and its legacy for the Reformation. Afterward, we will look at the interactions of the Counter-Reformation with the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Presenting the history chronologically, we will point to the influence that the Church of the Holy Sepulchre had on the Reformation and the later effects of the Reformation on the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Now, we will go to the history of the site of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. The place where the Church of the Holy Sepulchre stands today can be traced back to the 7th century BC. It was used as a quarry until the 1st century BC, when the niches left by the quarry started being used as a cemetery with a garden in the 1st century BC. The site's proximity to the city and temple made it an expensive property, hence a cemetery for the wealthy. So it would be here, the site of the Holy Sepulchre, and here is the Temple Mount, so it's quite close to each other. It's expensive property. The last half of the 1st century BC was a time of great changes in Jerusalem's landscape due to Herod the Great's massive construction plan. Among his many interventions, Herod enlarged the temple platform and built the city's second wall, according to Josephus. The second wall still left the cemetery outside the city. When Agrippa built what Josephus calls the third wall, it brought the cemetery inside the walled city. Nonetheless, the third wall was finished just a couple of years before the city's construction. So, this would be the first wall. Then here the second wall, and then here the third wall. So just the third wall included the cemetery inside the walled city. The area continued to be used as a cemetery until 135 AD. However, after the Bar Kokhba revolt, Emperor Hadrian decided to rebuild Jerusalem in the Roman style and called it Aelia Capitolina. Among Hadrian's interventions was the construction of a temple to the goddess Aphrodite on the site of the cemetery. The temple was located on the main street, a prestigious location. In order to build this temple to Aphrodite, Hadrian's constructors leveled the terrain of the cemetery by adding fill instead of subtracting it. This action preserved the structure of the cemetery underneath the temple and indicated the area of Jesus' crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. Tradition says that the memory of the place was kept alive among Christians who continued to visit it after Hadrian's constructions. The temple remained on the site until Emperor Constantine the Great became a Christian in the 4th century AD. Eusebius writes that during the Council of Nicaea in 325, Constantine decided to remove the pagan temple and build a church in Jerusalem above the site of Jesus' crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. Based on Eusebius' description, it seems that Constantine spared no resources to build a magnificent complex with sculptures, marble, silver, and pure gold. Its relevance in the city's skyline can be seen in the 16th century mosaic map of the Holy Land in the Orthodox Church of St. George in Medeba, Jordan. So, here would be the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. So, it's quite big if you compare it with the other constructions here. And this would be the Cardo, the main street. Constantine's church complex measured approximately 130 by 60 meters. It was basically composed of four parts. The first part was the atrium, an east porch with the entrance to the first part, martyrium. The second part, martyrium, a building in the Roman basilica style with five aisles, the apse, and a passage to the triportico in the west. Triportico, a courtyard with columns on three sides, the Rock of Calvary on its southeast corner, and the entrance to the Anastasis. So, here would be the Calvary, here is the triportico, and here is the basilica. Here is the entrance facing east, and then here is the rotunda, the fourth part, and this is the edicule, which is the site that they believe that was the actual tomb of Christ. So, Eusebius says that before the construction of the church, the builders removed every stone of the pagan temple in order to build the church. However, Eusebius' writings are highly biased for propagandistic purposes. Archaeology has shown that there are stones from the time of Hadrian still present today. Furthermore, Corbo, who dug there in the 80s, suggests that the 12 columns of the rotunda came from Hadrian's 2nd century temple, which would explain the resemblance between Jerusalem's rotunda and that of the Pantheon in Rome, also built by Hadrian. Constantine built not only the church itself, but accommodations beside the church for visitors, allowing people from throughout the empire to come, visit the church, and stay in a safe and comfortable place. The new complex, combined with the emperor's prestigious presence during its inauguration, began the golden era of Christian pilgrimage to Jerusalem. The complex of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre continued without substantial alterations until 614, when the Persians sacked Jerusalem and badly damaged the church. However, structurally, the Constantinian building remained intact. Later, the church was repaired, maintaining the layout from the 4th century. When the Muslims took Jerusalem in 638, the church was spared from destruction. The church did not go through another major intervention until 1009, when Fatimid Caliph Hakim of Egypt commanded its total destruction. On this occasion, most of the church was damaged, and only sections of the rotunda survived. Rotunda to be that round part, the most west part. Later, the Caliph apologized, and in 1012, he allowed Christians to rebuild it. There are records of pilgrims visiting the site already in the same year, 1012. In the middle of the 11th century, the new construction was finished. The result was a much smaller but richly decorated church, with little chapels around the portico, the triportico. The restoration had two phases. The first phase was local in inspiration. The second phase was funded by the Byzantine Empire. A few years after that, the Byzantine Empire began to fall, and its emperor asked for help from the Roman Pope, Urban II. When the news of the growth of the Turkish power reached him, Pope Urban II called for the first crusade in 1095 in order to regain the Christian East in the Holy Land. 4 years later, in 1099, the Crusaders arrived in Jerusalem, and on Christmas of 1100, Jerusalem crowned its first Crusader king, Baldwin I. Since renovations had recently been done in the Rotunda and the Edicule, the Crusaders did not prioritize the church enlargement in their first years of rulership. However, with Jerusalem under the Crusaders' control, the number of pilgrims that visited the church greatly increased. In order to receive the large number of visitors, the Crusaders started making interventions in the church that were finished between 1149 and 1167. Their efforts focused on the construction of a larger hall to the east, where the Basilica Martyrium from Constantine stood. So they constructed more to this side here. In addition, they unified the Calvary site and the Tomb of Christ under one roof. So here, where used to be the three portico, they roofed it, because here is the Calvary. So they roofed this area and unifying all of the areas under the same roof. Like Constantine, the Crusaders intended to make an extraordinary building, surpassing all European buildings. The result was a late Romanesque French cathedral, which is essentially the building standing today. Ironically, when the edicule reached its peak of impressiveness in 1187, the Muslim leader Saladin took Jerusalem. Uncertain of what to do with it, Saladin closed the church for 3 days, until he decided that it would remain under Christian control. Nevertheless, he closed one of its doors permanently with bricks. Saladin's successors were tougher on Christians. They charged a large fee to visit the church, and they opened the building only when pilgrims were there. Consequently, the number of pilgrims fell substantially. In 1244, 10,000 Pharsmenian horsemen destroyed most of Jerusalem, including the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. There are no records of repairs to the church until 1555. Although the church seems to have been left deteriorating for three centuries, pilgrims continue to visit the site. In order to spare pilgrims from the dangers of the trips and its high costs, replicas of the Church of the Holy Land were built around the empire. So here we already start having some replicas of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. This is St. Anna of Augsburg in Germany. Both are in Germany. This is from 1508. And this is from the 16th century as well. And you can pass to the next one. And this one is in Italy. So I found examples mostly in Germany and Italy. The earliest ones are from the 9th and 10th centuries. So this is from the 10th century, and this is from the 12th century. And both, this is from Italy, and this is from Germany. Pilgrims would visit the replicas in Europe instead of the original ones in the East, and the profits remained in Catholic hands instead of going to the Muslims, which holded the Holy Land, right? However, those visitors who braved the circumstances and were able to make it to Jerusalem and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre received the Holy Sepulchre knighthood, the highest point of the pilgrimage, which granted hundreds of years of indulgences and forgiveness of all sins of the visitors. Among the people who were able to go to Jerusalem was a young German elector, Frederick the Wise. He is one of the strong connections between the Reformation, the Italian Empire, pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and relics. This Saxon prince was a crucial figure in the life of Luther and the dissemination of the Reformation. Now you turn to Frederick the Wise's wife. Frederick III, also called the Wise, was born in Torgau, Germany, in 1463 and became the Elector of Saxony in 1486. In 1472, silver was discovered in the Ore Mountains, which is approximately 200 kilometers from Wittenberg, bringing wealth to the region. As a result, this territory experienced great economic prosperity under his father's rulership. However, wealth could not prevent deaths in the family. In 1484, his mother and brother died of a plague. 2 years later, his father died in an accident. With his father's death, Frederick became the Elector of Saxony. The Saxon family is a good example of the high mortality rates of that time, which heightened the fear of death in the population and made them easy prey for salvific financial transactions. Indulgences became a convenient income source for the papacy, which was in debt. Therefore, probably motivated by fear after his family's deaths, Frederick decided to pay the price and go on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. He knew that the journey was very dangerous and that it could cost him his own life, and so he made a will before his departure. Nevertheless, the idea of hundreds of years of indulgences and the pardon of all sins was attractive to him. Frederick traveled to Jerusalem and was granted the Holy Sepulchre knighthood. On June 29, 1493, the church that he saw was probably falling apart, as it had not been repaired since the destruction of 1244. During his journey, he purchased relics for exhibition back at home, Germany. Frederick's religious mentor, Palatin, told him that there were four major ways to demonstrate reverence to God: church building, adornments, relics, and pilgrimage. Frederick had made his pilgrimage and brought home numerous relics. Now he decided to further demonstrate his piety through church building and adornments, following Spalatin's ideas. When Frederick arrived in Germany, his first action was to lay the foundations of the castle church in Wittenberg, which became his primary residence. Inside this new castle church, he made a replica of the edicule of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and adorned it with painting of the and a painting of the body of Christ. Okay, the replica of the Wittenberg Castle Church is not present anymore. However, this replica is in Görlitz, Germany, and was made probably by the same architect that built the Wittenberg Castle Church. So this is the closest example that we would get to the one that was inside the Wittenberg Castle Church. And this is Catherine Moore. She is the one who pointed out this resemblance. In addition, this church housed his collection of relics, Frederick the Wise collection. Therefore, the Wittenberg Castle Church contained the four major demonstrations of Frederick's devotion in one building: church building, adornments, relics, and pilgrimage. 9 years after his pilgrimage, Frederick founded the University of Wittenberg in 1502. Now I'm going to make a quick overview of these two decades until we get to the nailing of the thesis. So in 1508, Martin Luther was hired to teach ethics there. In 1511, he started teaching religion at the university. And in 1517, Luther nailed the 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Castle Church, the church that housed the four ways of devotion. Most likely influenced by Luther's teachings, in 1521, the display of relics at the Wittenberg Castle Church became free of indulgences. In the same year, Charles V became the new emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, with the support of Frederick, As emperor, Charles V participated in the Diet of Worms, judging Luther. Luther was not considered a threat and was not arrested. Nevertheless, foreseeing the coming problems and fearing for his brilliant professor, Frederick kidnapped Luther in order to protect his life. The elector feared Luther in the following year, in 1522, hoping that Luther would help to restore peace. It was also in this year that Frederick stopped buying relics. His relics collection reached 19,003 pieces and bestowed indulgences of up to 20 million years. A quick note, Spalatin, which told Frederick the four ways, he was the religious mentor of Luther, of Frederick. And Luther was the mentor of Spalatin. So, however, there is not a straight connection between them. We don't have any account of it. We can see through Spalatin that he was the link between the two of them. It took some years for the ideals of the Reformation to take root within Frederick. But in 1523, he abolished the exhibition of relics. 2 years later, Frederick died and was buried in the Wittenberg Castle Church. Some time after his death, the replica of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was removed from Wittenberg. The Reformation and pilgrimage to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. As the disputes between the Reformers and the Catholic Church grew bitter, the Reformers' condemnation of opportunistic practices increased. Among the many things they disapproved of was pilgrimage to the Holy Land. This Protestant censure affected the number of pilgrims visiting Jerusalem. In 1533, Afagard, the French knight who wrote a guide for pilgrims, said that the cost of the pilgrimage to the Holy Land was neither so high nor dangerous. For him, the decrease in pilgrimage was due to Luther's and Erasmus' preaching against it. Now I will quote Afagard. "Since that wicked Luther has been in power with his accomplices and also Erasmus, many Christians have withdrawn and grown cold, especially the Flemings and Germans, who used to be more devout in traveling to the Holy Land than all the others." The seed of Luther's rejection of pilgrimage was planted in the beginning of his monkhood, when he made a pilgrimage to Rome and was disappointed with its saving results. Luther's rejection of pilgrimage became more intense through the years. Later, when he saw the connections between the practice of pilgrimage, the unscrupulous side of indulgences, and the irrationality of relics, he became highly critical of it. In his pamphlet, The Misuse of Mass, he was blunt about his view on the subject. Now I will quote Luther. "When I was a child, I often heard in these lands a prophecy that the Emperor Frederick would deliver the Holy Sepulchre. It seems to me that this prophecy has been fulfilled in this prince of ours, Frederick of Saxony. For how else can we understand the Holy Sepulchre than as the Holy Sepulchre, in which the truth of Christ has been killed and laid, and so on by the papists? As for the tomb which the Lord lay, which the Saracens now possess, God values it like the cows of Switzerland." At the time, there was no evidence that the location of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre had been outside the city in the first century Jerusalem. Remember, here is the site of the church, and here is the wall. But with Saladin's walls and the third wall, it became inside the church, the city. Only in the 20th century did archaeologists find support to show that the area was a cemetery outside the city when Jesus died. Thus, for Luther and the Reformers, the location of the church inside the walls in the 16th century contradicted the Gospel's account that the tomb was outside the city. It looked like a fraud, another papal scheme. When the Reformation grew to continental proportions, the emperor, together with the papacy, took steps to fight its advancement and revive the Roman Catholic Church. Against people's expectations and rumors, Emperor Charles V did not send another crusade to fight the Ottomans in the East. Instead, he and his son, King Philip of Spain, commanded Pope Julius III to reconstruct the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which had been falling apart for 3 centuries. The Empire's treasury funded the reconstruction. The reconstruction would fight the reformers' criticism of pilgrimage and reaffirm the Roman dominion of the site. Since Boniface of Ragusa was the coordinator of pilgrimage, the term used for this is custos, of the Holy Land at that time, he was in charge of it, of the Reformation. The church was under construction between 1551 and 1560, but was largely finished by 1555. In 1573, Boniface published a book, Liber de Perenni Culto, by order of Pope Pius V, describing his work on the church. According to his description, the edicule was about to collapse when the reconstruction began. Hence, the structure was taken apart and later rebuilt using the same stones. During the process of taking the structure apart, all bedrock coverings were removed. Boniface said that he saw the rock-cut tomb of the Lord after removing the stones that were on top of it. The structure built by Boniface Ragusa in 1550s stood until the 19th century. In 2016, the edicule was opened again, for the first time after the reconstruction in 1555. It was possible to see a crusader's slab and the limestone bedrock. All surfaces were scanned for later research and examined for traces of graffiti. Reports of this work have not yet been published. Conclusions. This paper has shown that the history of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre had impacts on the Reformation. Moreover, the Reformation's ideals, in turn, sparked the Catholic reaction to rebuild the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in the 1550s. The great interest in the archaeological site of the crucifixion and burial of Jesus Christ for more than 1,000 years led to its financial exploitation through pilgrimage. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre's misuse by Catholics and the site's misunderstanding by Protestants drew a disapproval and open criticism of Luther. As a result, the Reformation led to a decline in visits to the Holy Land. In order to counter the reduced rate of pilgrimage, Emperor Charles V ordered the rebuilding of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Such measure was not effective with Protestants, who did not have much interest in going to the Holy Land for centuries. But time and distance had created a dreamlike view of Jerusalem and the Holy Land. In the 1800s, when the Protestants resumed visitation to the Holy Land, many were frustrated when they arrived there and saw the reality of modern Palestine. This phenomenon explains the reactions of most people have when they first see the Church of the Holy Sepulchre today. They encounter a French Crusader church that reflects centuries of political and religious disputes instead of a peaceful bucolic garden.